opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Brock. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Brophanski.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And here it is, the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. Back with another episode, number 159. This is your host, Rick Redding. Very happy to be here this week. I tell you, I am very excited about my guest. It's really one of the reasons I get really excited about doing this show is the people I get to meet and talk with as part of producing the Rusty Satellite Show. And I had a lot of fun this week. I met two people, let me just tell you about my guest. In the second part of the show, you're going to be hearing from Jerry Buck Deaton, who I learned about through the Flyover Film Festival. And Jerry's just a fascinating guy. I had a long talk with him after our interview, but Jerry produced a documentary about a guy named Harry Caudle for the who was a pioneer in civil rights and in Eastern Kentucky was essential to changing attitudes and bringing attention to the poor in Eastern Kentucky in the days of John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson. I've seen the trailer. I'm sure it's an outstanding film, at one of several at the Flyover Film Festival. So you'll be interested to hear my conversation with Jerry Deaton. He's a really fun guy and interesting point of view. Lives over in Frankfort, and we'll be meeting him in the last part of the show. But in the first part, I'm going to have Pat Durham, who goes back with me a long, long way to a time when I was the very first marketing director at the Home Builders Association of Louisville, as it was called then. Now it's called the Building Industry Association. Pat was then a developer and builder and is now the new executive director over there at the Building Industry Association of Louisville. And it's the same building. I walked in there for the first time since 1993 this afternoon. So that was a blast. Got to see some. There were some employees, Robin and Margie, I saw, and they were still there. I mean, this is 23 years later. And so anyway, I hadn't had an occasion to go back in there since then. And it is the Homerama time of year. So I'll be talking with Pat about Homerama and some of the things that are coming up with the Building Industry Association of Louisville. It's very, very great organization. I really enjoyed my time working there way back in the 90s. We did. I take credit for this. People really, you know, you might not hear other people giving me credit, but there was a television show called Louisville's Best New Homes, a half-hour television show. The host was Tara Bassett, and my friend from WHAS-TV, Tony Wiletta, was the producer, the camera guy, and all that, and produced that show. And we got it off the ground, and it lasted for like 18 years. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. So there is a whole lot of stuff to talk about this week, including what's going on in Cleveland for the Republican convention. We'll spend just a little time talking about that. But I do want to mention my sponsor of this show. If you listen regularly to the Rusty Satellite Show, I'm sure you know that the Passport Health Plan has been my sponsor from almost the very beginning. I really appreciate their support of the show, as well as the Eye Care Institute. And the Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue, the number there is 502-589-1500. You know, about their location, there was just a story in the news last week, I believe it was, that area right across the street from the Eye Care Institute, where the ramp off Story Avenue from the interstate is going to become a nice park. And it's a great thing that Mark Prussian is involved with down there at the Eye Care Institute. So summertime's a great time to get your eyes checked. So take yourself and the kids, make an appointment, 502-589-1500 to the Eye Care Institute. All right, like I said, there's a lot of things to talk about that I'll be bringing up after the show. One of the things I'm looking forward to doing this weekend is going to Homerama. I didn't realize that. I think Pat says in the interview that this is the 58th year that Homerama has gone on in Louisville, and there are a lot of Homerama houses around town. When I was involved in it back in 92, 92 and 93, I remember. We had a downtown site, and I think about it every time I go down there. It's like over there on Wenzel and Main Street, and in an area that maybe be making a comeback soon. But anyway, that's behind the point. Beside the point, I really enjoyed getting to talk with Pat Durham and talked about doing some work with them in the near future. And he's in a great position. He's very happy to be. Basically, he was a builder, and he's slowly detached himself from that. Took over on June 1st, and now they've got Homerama, a record-setting Homerama, 24 homes out at Norton Commons, and I think he said 16 out at Rivercrest. A lot to see if you're interested in new homes. So check that out. Listen to my interview with Pat Durham, and going out there this weekend. You know, it's going to be really hot. But you can, you can duck inside those well air conditioned homes. If you've not been to Homerama, it's really fun to see what the builders have come up with to do. Pat talks a little bit about that, and this one at Norton Commons. I went to the one I guess 5 years ago out there. It was fantastic. If you're interested in architecture and interior design, Homerama is the thing to do. A great way to get out of the sun, but you're out of the house, right? So anyway, I'm going to move on out of here and let you listen to my interview with Pat Durham.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328. Or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time
to care.
And
I walked into the Home Builders Association building on Hurstbourne Parkway today. The walls didn't fall down. I haven't been here since Pat Durham and I worked together on a bunch of projects back in the early 90s. So,
we sure did. Gosh, Rick, it brings back the memories. And we did work together on a lot of things, a lot of fun things. And things have changed in this industry over that period of time.
Well, I'm really pleased that you're in this position. I know that I left back in '92, and Chuck Cavanaugh sort of took over. He had a long, great career heading up what is now called the Building Industry Association.
That's correct.
And so, how'd you get to be the guy?
Well, it's an interesting story. As you noted, you started or you left in the early 90s. I started in this business in the late 80s. So 1988, I was hired to work for a local developer called STM Development.
Oh, yeah.
We did projects like Copperfield in Bridgepoint in Sutherland and Springhurst. But in any event, to make a long story short, that was my entree into the business from a developer standpoint. And as I got familiar with developing, obviously our big customers were builders, and working with them and helping them find properties and home sites, I was very intrigued by the building business. So as I iterated and went through different phases of my career in this industry, I became a home builder.
Okay.
And one of the first things I did as a member of this industry was join what was then known as the Home Builders Association.
There you
and
go.
And that's how you and I met.
That's right. I was the very first marketing director
right.
here. So that
so
was cool.
That was cool. And so having such a long career in this industry and being such a long-term member of this organization, when Chuck Cavanaugh, who had been here 20 years, decided he was going to retire, wow. I had a couple of board members come to me and say, you know, you ought to think about becoming his replacement.
There you go.
Which kind of blew me out of the water because I was not thinking that. I had a very successful career as a home builder and remodeler and wasn't on my radar. I was current president of the board at the time.
Okay.
So having that relationship with a lot of the other board members and the executive committee who run the organization, when a couple of members suggested that I do it, it kind of took me aback and thought about it long and hard, talked to my family, and they said, if this is something you want to do, go for it,
okay.
Do it. So lo and behold, here we are.
And
that's how
are.
It worked out.
Well, it's a great organization, I know, from being here long ago. A lot of things are the same. We had that television show, Louisville's Best New Homes, for years and years and years. And So you're in place. You've only been here, what, a couple of months?
Just a few months. Okay. Actually, my first official day was June 1st. But we had a transition period, Rick, which worked out really well with Chuck, where I started a transition process March 1st and continued to close out my business, shut my jobs down, got them completed as a okay. home builder remodeler, and during that transition, worked with Chuck to learn the nuances of the industry and how do we go about doing this task, that task.
Sure.
Worked through with Chuck on the Home Gardener Remodeling Show, which is a big event that we put on, and then started ramping up towards Homerama, which we are in the midst of.
Yeah, it's the biggest event of the year for the organization. And tell me a little bit about Homerama. I know people are always interested. Most people in town have been to one at one time or another.
Sure.
So what's going on this year?
Well, you know, Homerama's been around 68 years.
Wow.
And it is a Louisville tradition. So every summer what happens with Homerama is a local developer will present his site or her site for the show. It'll be in a neighborhood that's there's active construction, and builders and remodelers or builders and decorators will team up and get a house built that is fully decorated, fully furnished, has every accessory imaginable, and it includes the latest, greatest technology, appliances, flooring, paint colors, ceiling design, exterior architecture that is available in our marketplace, and it becomes a showcase and a showplace for the public to view.
Okay. And you probably over the years built a couple of these.
I did. Actually, I built two in my career and was a developer member for three additional.
Okay.
So I had that involvement, which helped me understand what it was all about coming in as the association leader. But what we've got the sites this year are a site in northeastern Jefferson County called Norton Commons.
Okay.
Norton Commons is what they call a new urbanism type community, meaning that the homes are a little closer together. It's walkable, has its own little downtown, shops, restaurants, city services.
It's very cool. I know on my other site, we just had a review of the new restaurant out there, the 502.
The 502, yes. That is due to open up, I think, next week, but they're going through their soft opening right now. But it is cool, Rick. It is, in addition to the walkability, there are a ton of little parks and green spaces and open spaces and swimming pools and jogging trails and walking areas and an amphitheater that just opened a year or two ago. So the community puts on public concerts and so forth.
I went to a show down there that the Louisville Orchestra puts on.
Exactly right.
That is a great facility.
It's a great venue.
Yeah.
So that's one of our sites. The other site is, for the first time in a long time, is in Bullitt County. And it's a community called Rivercrest. And Rivercrest, okay. The sites, there are nine builders there. The sites are all walkouts. They're wooded lots. They have a community park in the center of it that all the houses face. So it's unique. It has walking trails through it for the community. It's going to eventually have a clubhouse, swimming pool, soccer fields, splash okay. park, a canoe launch onto the Salt River.
Wow.
So that's kind of how they got their name, River Crest.
Uh-huh.
That some of these lots, when they get to them, will overlook the Salt River.
Wow.
And it's really cool. But there's nine homes to view in Rivercrest in Mount Washington, and there are 24 homes to view in Norton Commons, the wow. largest single site ever in the history of Homerama in terms of number of houses.
I think I remember going out to Norton Commons a few years back. It's not their first time being a Homerama,
no,
right?
You're right. It's 2011, I believe, was their first show.
Yeah.
And it was very successful. This show is probably going to top it.
Okay. But just give me an idea. I mean, I know a lot of people that aren't in the market for, you know, whatever, a $500,000 home or whatever. They like to go and they like to look around and see the see how they're decorated and see
sure,
what the new trends are.
Yes.
So what kind of audience do you get? I mean, how many people go to this thing?
Well, the audience is pretty varied. In other words, there'll be a lot of people that's their entertainment. So they really don't have any intention of building a new home or doing a remodel. But many of the people that go there, which we would, and I am going to go out on a limb and say we are going to expect between 40 and 50,000 people
wow.
at Norton Commons alone this year, from July 16th through July 31st are the days of the show.
Okay.
At Rivercrest, because it's the first time in Bullitt County in a long time, we are not sure what to expect, but our early predictions would say somewhere between 12 to 15,000. If we get a really good show there, we might expect to see 15 to 20,000.
Okay.
Now, that show, Rick, will draw from Bullitt, Shelby, Spencer, Hardin, Nelson County, of Southern Jefferson County. So they'll draw a different audience than Norton Commons will. And they'll draw people that want to look at the new homes. But also, it's great for remodeling, because what you'll find is if you either don't want to move or you're not in that price point of building, because you're right, those homes in both sites will start in the 400s.
Okay.
Norton Commons will go to $1.3 million. Out at Rivercrest, they'll go, say, $400 to $650.
Okay.
And that's the expected price point. But if you're not in that market, you are probably going to see something that you like there.
Yeah.
Whether it's a new lighting fixture, or it's tile, or you want to do hardwood floors, or upgrade your cabinets, or hire one of the builders who also remodel, or hire a decorator designer to come into your home and say, show me how I can upgrade and update and look like these homes without moving.
And, of course, all the builders are independent businesses out there, and they're all looking, I guess, what I remember is that there was always the talk of how many of the homes are already sold, or how many get sold during the during the event. So how's that going?
Well, that part's going great. I'm glad you asked. As a result of these homes being so beautiful and the sites being terrific, and more importantly, interest rates being so historically low, Norton Commons, out of the 24 houses, 18 are sold.
Wow, that's amazing.
At Rivercrest, out of the 9 homes, 6 are sold. And that is a testament to the product that's being built, the development's being so outstanding, and interest rates being historically low.
But and the thing from a buyer standpoint, though, is if you're able to get a Homerama house, you get some perks with
you
it.
Sure
you get
do.
Some extras
you
that
sure
you're not going to get if you're just
you
not
are,
buying
You
it
are exactly right, Rick, and I'll give you an example. Let's just say a carpeting company like Shaw Carpets. They've got their newest carpet line that they want to introduce to the marketplace. So they will sell that to the builder or their buyer for maybe the middle of the road cost, and it's their most expensive upgraded line, so you are getting the benefit of that, and that goes throughout the process. So some supplier of any product in that house is giving some sort of a discount because they want their new product out there. So
which goes for appliances
and everything
fixtures
else.
And everything else.
From the foundation concrete to the roof shingles.
Well, running out of time here, but I want to ask about, not to really put you on the spot, but there's got to be something that's really cool that is new that I want to go see. So entice me to go see. What is it?
Well, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see an abundance of use of reclaimed woods for hardwood floors. I'll give you a quick example. One of the builders at Norton Commons has gone to, I believe it's Claiborne Farms in Lexington, one of the most historic horse farms in the world. And they were doing a project where they were replacing horse fence, four board horse fence.
Wow.
He went up there and got a quantity of that horse fence, has replaned it, and used it in his flooring and also to build cabinets. He also took some of the old barns that you'll find on that site in some of the barns in throughout Kentucky, replane those, and has used those for his flooring. So that's really cool. Now, that's one of a kind, but some of the other builders are using the reclaimed woods. They're very unique. They're one of a kind. You're not going to be able to duplicate those. The other thing you'll see that's really cool, Rick, that would entice you to go, look at some of the ceiling details. You're seeing vaults and barrels and octagonal shapes, and it's spectacular what you're seeing out there at these homes.
Well, that's really cool. We got to wrap it up. Let our listeners know, what's the cost to get in? What are the hours?
Yeah, for a single visit, it's $10 for a ticket. But because there's two sites and because there's so many homes to see, you can also buy a two-day pass or a two-site pass for $15. So you're getting a kind of a 50% discount on your second ticket. Show hours Monday through Friday from 5 to 9:30. Saturdays 9:30 till Saturdays from 10 to 9:30, and then Sundays 1 to 6.
Okay. Well, it sounds good. I'm sure the air conditioning is going to be working in all the homes.
They're cranked up, but they feel good. You will get out of this heat when you walk in those homes.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
And I promise you, I will see you out there, Pat, at the Homerama in Norton Commons. I don't think I'll make it out to Bullitt County for that one, but I'm sure it's going to be great. Really like that Norton Commons community. Over on eatdrinktalk.net, there is a review by my partner Steve Coombs of the new 502 restaurant. I think it's called 502 Bar. It's in Norton Commons and is just getting ready. It's either just open or just getting ready to open. One of many new restaurants that we're talking about over on the Eat Drink Talk website and podcast that you can catch every Friday right here on the Louisville.am network. A lot of stuff this week on that show. I have interviewed the executive chef at the Brown Hotel, Josh Bettis, and he is quite a personality. Encourage you to listen to the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast with Steve Coombs and me each and every week, just like this one. We'll give you something to listen to every single week. So anyway, there's so much going on this week. I made a list of things I wanted to talk about that I've observed in the news and have comments on, I guess. And so I'm just going to run through those one after the other. We'll see how that goes. Those of you that follow media in Louisville know that there was a lot of controversy a few months back with Tracy Blue. Tracy was the then editor-publisher of the Voice Tribune newspaper, owned by her husband, Jonathan. And to make a long story short, there was a big thing. She came in one day and she was asked to leave, and her marriage was falling apart. I don't know the details. I don't really care to know, but she was out of a job. And now she announced this week on Facebook and a few other places that she's going to start a new online magazine called Tabs View, which I don't know what that's going to be about, but we'll see. Maybe we'll have Tracy on the show to talk about it at some point in the near future. It's supposed to launch in September, so I will be anxious to see what happens there on the local media scene. You know, a couple weeks ago, I don't know, time flies, I don't know, the one magazine, In Focus, went out of business. I went to their closing party and at Volare, and you know, there's always people, there's always a market for good quality content. That's you know, what I continue to talk about over at Eat, Drink, Talk and at LouisvilleKY.com. Can I tell you about something we've got over on the LouisvilleKY.com website? Is a feature on this. I keep hearing people talking to me about Pokemon Go, and I've kind of had enough of it. But anyway, Jackie Bentley did a story on that over at LouisvilleKY.com, and it turns out that it can be a boon to businesses. The Kentucky Derby Museum, I got a press release this week that they're extending the hours for people to go over there and look for these Pokemon. So the Pokemon phenomenon is really going. It's cranking up. I saw also on the LouisvilleKY.com website, you know, you always hear about these lists of Louisville is the top rated this or low in that. We did a story on the fact that Louisville is the least child friendly, is the third least child friendly market for singles in America. I know that sounds confusing. I understand it, but basically the bottom line is they did this study and they found out that when they interviewed singles, the ones in Louisville were least open to the idea of having kids. So it's weird. Las Vegas was first, Charlotte was second, and we're third. I don't really understand that, but maybe that's something you can talk about with your friends over dinner or drinks or something. Anyway, that's an odd, weird story, I guess. One thing in the middle of summer you look forward to is football season. And, you know, last year I had Jeff Brohm, the head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, on this show, and we had a nice talk. He went on to have a 12-2 season, won a bowl game. It was probably the most successful year in Hilltopper history. Well, they did their media tour of Louisville this week, and I didn't get a chance to go by and talk to Jeff or anything, but he has added an important new member of his staff. The new quarterback's coach down there at Western is Brian Brohm. Yes, the former Trinity and University of Louisville All-American, great football player, great quarterback, is now working with his brother down there at WKU. I sure wish they'd get on the U of L schedule. That would really be great. There's a lot of talk. I don't know. Sometimes when I'm driving around, I listen to sports talk radio, and I guess there was some stuff going on with the ACC this week. It relates to media because they're creating a new ACC network, sort of copying the SEC and the Big Ten, and that seems to be a big deal. They're having media days for the ACC football season down in North Carolina this week, and you'll be hearing more about that, I guess, if you pay attention to the media and understand what's going on. U of L football should be pretty good this year. I'm looking forward to it. I have my season tickets on the UPS flight deck. It's going to be fun. I hope you went to Forecastle last weekend. I went there for about an hour. I tell you, I guess it's just not my scene anymore. It was too hot. You know, I hate to say too hot and too many people. There's people all over the place. But the music was apparently pretty good. I talked to a lot of people that went, and they seemed to really enjoy it. A lot of people from out of town come into town for the Forecastle Festival. Apparently, it was another great success. No controversy, no incidents. It's really amazing what J.K. McKnight and his crew have been able to do with that event that has been going on now for more than a dozen years right in Waterfront Park in Louisville. So congrats to them. I did go to an opening party and a few Forecastle-related events, so it was pretty cool. This weekend, if you're interested in music, I mean, this is an event that I do get into, and it's the Blues, Brews, and Barbecue Festival down by the Water Tower. My friends at Bissick Impact Group put this on, and of the events that they do at the Water Tower, this, I think, is the coolest one. They do a reggae festival, and they do one that I think is kind of country or whatever, but this one is the one I like. The blues that you'll be hearing. The main act on Saturday night is somebody called Studebaker John and the Hawks. I don't know. I have seen one of Saturday's acts, Little TNA. They have a lot of energy. I really enjoy them, and a great local band. They're playing. But it's down at the Water Tower. It doesn't cost that much to get in, and it's just a really fun event, a really fun environment. And take your folding chair, set up on the lawn, and listen to some great blues on Friday and Saturday night at the Water Tower. So wanted to get that in and talk about that. But, well, I guess the big story that everybody's talking about is the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. And I'm so looking forward to tonight. I'm recording this on Wednesday. And last night I sort of tried to watch some of the speeches and some of the things coming out of this whole Trump festival, this coronation of Donald Trump as the Republican candidate, listening for the naysayers, listening for people who don't think this is really going to happen, that he's going to win this election. I was interested in the story about Trump's wife who spoke, I guess, Monday night or Tuesday night. And it turns out her parts of her speech were plagiarized from Michelle Obama's speech. And then today, one of the speechwriters on the Trump staff came out and said, "Oh, it's my fault. I'm the one that did that. I put those lines in there and didn't realize." Of course, I didn't realize that I was plagiarizing that and all that. It's not going to be a big deal, but it is evident of the kind of attention to detail this Trump campaign has. I couldn't be more opposed to Donald Trump and the idea of him being our president, which is why I'm really looking forward to tonight and Thursday night and Friday night. Bill Maher on HBO is having specials about the Republican convention, so I'll be able to watch it and get the news of what's going on without having to put up with the people on the news channels, the Fox News, even CNN. It was hard to watch last night. It was really it's educational. You should watch it. I was educated about things, people that I disagree with, and I watch it, and it's kind of irritating for Paula to watch it with me because I say things to the TV when I hear things that I don't like. I don't know if you do that, but tonight, I'll be watching. Hopefully, I'll be watching Bill Maher talk about what's going on there with the Trump thing in Cleveland. It's really big. Of course, next week we'll have Hillary Clinton's convention, the Democrats in Philadelphia, I believe it is, and So I did talk some politics with my next guest, Jerry Deaton. He is one heck of an interesting guy. Fifth generation that built a house. He lives out in the country in Frankfort, but he also had a long career as a lobbyist, and he worked for the Kentucky League of Cities, and he knows a lot about local government. He is not a big fan of the Bevin administration and what they're doing, but he's very creative. He's written a couple of books, and they're about his life in eastern Kentucky and growing up. And I just find that stuff fascinating. He built this house, and he went for a couple of years. I think he talks about that in the interview. A couple of years he went without water, without running water, and without a phone. And had a nice career as a lobbyist and worked in the legislature in Frankfort. He is, yes, a Democrat leaning. And the subject of his documentary, Harry Caudill, was a legendary figure in eastern Kentucky and was unpopular. And what made it interesting was that Jerry was able to chronicle a lot of the uphill battles that he fought. And Jerry is like, we talked a little bit about the governor's race and how Jack Conway was a terrible candidate for the Democrats against Matt Bevin, and he just wouldn't take on coal. And you didn't realize that, you know, let's face it, coal is not the future of Kentucky. It is the past. And people are trying to hang on to it. And politically, it's very dangerous. And Conway wasn't, in my opinion, willing to tell it like it is, and talk about the fact that the coal industry in Kentucky is not what it once was. But anyway, Jerry, interesting thing is he's leaving the interview. He was talking about going over to see Harry Caudill's widow, who lives in New Albany. She's in the hospital, and we wish her the best. I know he was worried. She's like 92 years old, and the Flyover Film Festival starts soon. Monday night is when Jerry's film will be premiered at the Speed Museum. Encourage you to get in touch with Flyover Film Festival. You can just Google that, Flyover Film Festival in Louisville, and find out about tickets, etc., if you want to go see Jerry's film about Harry Caudill, which you may want to do after you hear this great interview that I had with him this week.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, the Rusty Satellite Show is back with Jerry Deaton, and Jerry has a very interesting story for us. Today, Jerry's got a film that's part of the Flyover Film Festival that's coming to town this weekend. And Jerry, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you asking me to come on.
Well, I was checking out your background, a very interesting history. You live over there on Pea Ridge Lane, right, in Frankfort.
Yeah, I'm in the Badlands of Franklin County.
That sounds fun. And now, tell me a little bit about this film and how it came about. This is going to be premiering for the first time right here at the Flyover Film Festival.
It is on July 25th, 7:30 at the Speed Museum.
Okay.
Really, it started about 3 years ago, Rick, when I met Ann Caudill. Met her at a writer's group across the river in New Albany, Indiana, where she lives now. And she is the widow of Harry Caudill, a fellow who is one of Kentucky's premier authors and social and environmental activists. Mr. Caudill passed away 25 years ago, but he wrote a book called Night Comes to the Cumberlands. And in 1963, that book actually helped launch the War on Poverty. Actually, in 1965, LBJ's War on Poverty, that book helped kick that initiative off.
Yeah, I saw the trailer, and I saw LBJ
in the trailer, and I guess Mr. Caudill's book is how LBJ really learned about the poverty in Eastern Kentucky, right?
It is, and actually President Kennedy had the book. Of course, he was killed a little bit later, but he actually had his staff read the book. Bobby Kennedy came to Kentucky and met with Mr. Caudill in 68, just a few months before he was killed. So it was pretty amazing at the people, the high-profile people who took that book and said, oh my goodness, this, you know, I can't believe this stuff's going on in Eastern Kentucky.
Okay. Okay, now I guess the film is sort of a documentary-style film about Caudill's, you know, the effect of Caudill's life on Kentucky, right?
It is. I knew if I made it just about Mr. Caudill that Mr. Caudill would come back as a ghost and haunt me. What Mr. Caudill would want is for his message to still resonate. And his book, Night Comes to the Cumberlands, if you read it, it is as relevant today as it was 50 years ago. Things have still not come far enough in Eastern Kentucky, and so I wanted it to be about his life, but I also wanted it to carry on his message that things still need to change.
Sure.
In Eastern Kentucky.
Well, people are really struggling. I know the coal business is struggling, and a lot of people are trying to figure out new ways to
well,
make
exactly,
money.
Exactly. And the coal industry is really the subject matter of the film.
Okay. Well, I'm sure a lot of people would be interested. That's July 25th. What is that? Tuesday.
That's a Monday.
Monday night at the Speed Museum. So check that out. And Jerry, you're going to be there. You're going to be doing a Q&A afterwards.
I hope so. I think that's probably going to be the format. Is after it's finished, we'll have some time for questions.
Well, you've led quite a colorful life yourself. I was reading, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. You grew up in Breathitt County, right?
I did. I grew up on Longs Creek in Breathitt County. I'm about as far back in the woods as you can go, as you can get. And Breathitt County's right in the middle. It's near Hazard.
Okay.
I grew up real close to Buckhorn Lake, and so I felt like a mountain person needed to make this film about a fellow mountain person.
Sure.
And I just, you know, even though I consider myself a storyteller primarily, nobody else it looked like was going to do it, and by God, I felt like it needed to be done.
Well, good. Well, it's great timing that's coming out now. And in your
is.
Career, I just want to talk briefly about your career. You haven't always been a writer, and we'll talk about your books in a second. But you worked in state government for a long time.
I did. I have kind of a strange path to being an author and a filmmaker. I started out working for the Legislative Research Commission as an analyst back in 86, moved on to be a lobbyist, ended up lobbying for all the cities in Kentucky for about, 15, 18 years, and retired, and then that's where I, you know, figured out I had to do something, so started telling ghost stories in my wife's class, and that kind of morphed into writing a book on ghost stories, Breathitt County ghost stories. Which grew up here in, and did a little.
So I've always been skeptical about ghosts.
Rick,
you must know something that
I am
that
probably the
real.
Only man that's ever written a ghost story book that has never seen a ghost. I'm open. I swear to God, I'm open. If I could see a ghost, and I would believe it. But we just in the mountains we tell stories, and I love ghost stories, and people love to hear ghost stories, and so I just took little strange events. And probably 80% of the story is true, and then I stuck a little ghost story in it.
Okay, there
so
you go.
That's how it worked out.
So that came out when? How long ago?
I think 11.
11
is when my first one came out, and then I decided I actually had started writing a book, just stories for my children on how I grew up. You know, I grew up in a place that is long ago and far away, buddy.
and the mountains
are a different place.
Tell me a little bit about
wonderful
that, because I read one thing that there was no water and no phone at a place you lived.
Well, now that's here in Franklin. That's in Franklin County. That was
that's not too long ago.
In the mid-90s, I chose for some reason to be the fifth generation Deaton in my line to build his own house. And it took me about a year and a half, and it was way off the road. And so far off that they wouldn't run a telephone line to me, and I didn't have water, so I had a pretty big house. I devised a way to catch the water off the roof, and so for about 7 years I had a cistern and I had a bag phone.
Wow.
So wow. I roughed it, but I made it.
I've got images of Green Acres and climbing up the telephone pole to talk on the phone.
Well, as we discussed earlier, at one point I was leaning out the window with a bag phone with Congressman Whitfield on the phone with about 2% battery left and almost no signal. So that was a stressful day. I felt like Green Acres that day.
Well, you've made it now. You wrote it, this second book. Now, tell me a little bit about the second book, because I saw this thing. I wanted to ask you what some of these were. There's this thing with 20 words. What's that?
I didn't want to just write. I don't have a spectacular life. I didn't have a tragic life. I just had a good, solid life growing up in the mountains. And I just had things happen that I thought would be interesting. Like, I plowed a mule one weekend. I'm probably one of the few 52-year-old men anywhere that can say they plowed a mule.
I've never done that.
Yeah.
I
expect not. You don't look like you've probably ever been behind a mule. So, but I was a Presbyterian boy in an evangelical Baptist world, and that had its own fun things.
Well, what were some? Now, you said, I think each chapter is based on a word. Yeah. What were just a handful
church.
Of the words?
Church is probably my favorite story, and it's the one I read the most when I have readings. And it tells how I blundered into all these situations with the evangelical community.
Mm-hmm.
And being a very staid, unemotional Presbyterian, we didn't amen, and we didn't hallelujah, and we didn't go down front to be saved. And I got stuck in situations like that with my girlfriend, who was a Methodist. And one time her father asked me to say grace at the dairy bar at Buckhorn, and I had no idea what to do. So I started out with God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. And I got nervous, and I ended up with, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take, which is a completely different one. So it was just a strange situation. It was a lot of humorous things, but I picked 20 words, like baseball, mm-hmm. football, Christmas was very special. There'd be 50 or 60 of us piling at my grandmother's house, and
wow.
we'd all sleep in the floor. And it was just a very special way to grow up. And I wanted people to see that we had decent lives, that everybody back there isn't ignorant and barefoot like they think. It's the best people in the world.
Right.
If you break down in your car right out here on this road on Westport Road, 50 people try to run over you before they'll stop and help you. If in the mountains, the first person that comes along will pick you up and take you wherever you need to go. And
yeah.
it's just the opposite. People think, oh, Lord, they'll kill me. And it's not the way it is.
So. Well, I've experienced a little bit of that life. I go out in the mountains in the country mm-hmm. every once in a while. But you, in your career, though, like you said, you weren't always a writer of chronicling your history. You spent some time in state government as a lobbyist, and what kind of work? I guess you mixed with all the leading politicians.
Well, I did. I still know a lot of people that are involved in government. And, when I was with LRC, I still did writing. I drafted the bill that made the speed limit, I think it was 65 miles an hour. I took us from 55 to 65. And I would answer call. People would call and say, Jerry, can you drive barefoot in Kentucky? And I'd say, yes, you can. And,
can
a lot
you?
Of people,
okay,
oh, yeah,
that's good.
You can. People think it's illegal, but it's not.
You have to wear a shirt?
You do not have to wear a shirt either.
Okay.
And you need to put yours back on, by the way, right now. So,
I wouldn't dare drive without a shirt, but, I can remember a day when I would have.
But it was interesting work. I enjoyed it. I liked trying to affect public policy for cities. I think that's mm-hmm. where most of the things are happening, and the progressive things are happening in Kentucky. And never ran into one issue that philosophically I could not back. So really, I'd say the League of Cities, the cities were probably the one group I could have worked for.
But you had no problem walking away from that kind of work.
No, I was tired of it. I tell you, buddy, it's like they say, it's like making sausage, and I agree with it. It is the closest thing to a contact sport lobbying is that you'll ever run into. It is rough and tumble, and you just have to be ready. I had one fellow pound his fist on the table. I thought he was going to come across on me. I had one fellow tell me a lie, and he and I were face-to-face in the hallway. And I remember Lynn Llewellyn came up and stepped in between. And it wasn't always like that, but it had potential to be that way. And it could be very tense.
I think people today, we don't have time to really get into this, but people today are very divided about politics. And
yeah.
It's really difficult.
It is, and it is worse today. It has steadily gotten worse over the 28 years that I was there. I got to see it get to a point where it was just plain old ugly.
Right.
And it is.
That's too bad. All right. Well, on a more positive note, though, we'll mention again your film is, what's the title?
Harry Caudle, A Man of Courage.
Okay. And it's next Monday night at the Speed Museum. And what else is on your schedule? You got something coming up next?
That's what I have to decide. I'm probably going to get back into writing. I think that's where my strengths are. I enjoy the reading part. I like to be in front of a group and read. I like to talk about my culture. Eastern Kentucky seems to be where my interest is. Even though I've been gone since 1986, it's what drives me and motivates me, and that's where all of my inspiration seems to come from. So I may do a little follow-up ghost storybook.
So there you have it, my two interviews with two of the most interesting people in the Ville this week. Thanks to Jerry Deaton and to Pat Durham for appearing on the show. They do not get lovely parting gifts or anything else, but the satisfaction of being on one of the now over 300 people who have appeared on the Rusty Satellite Show. Can you believe that? I am looking forward to seeing you out on the town this weekend. I hope you'll be at the Blues, Brews, and Barbecue Festival at the Water Tower all weekend, or maybe out at Homerama in Norton Commons. Pat Durham will be out there, and his crew from the Home Builders. See, I did it. It's not the Home Builders Association anymore. It's the Building Industry Association of Louisville. So there's a lot of other things going on. The Bats are home. They have the fireworks. I caught those last Friday after Forecastle. So a lot going on in this great city of ours. So don't sit in the house watching those Republicans all weekend, right? I guess the thing's over on Friday. It must be. But anyway, that's what's going on here in town, here in the middle of July. We're in the middle of a heat wave here, and so it's hard to get out of the house sometimes. I tell you, I tried playing golf the other day. It was kind of too hot. But anyway, that's going to do it for our show. Thanks again to Passport Health Plan and Eye Care Institute, our sponsors of this fine podcast. And thanks to all the people that helped me out here, Dan Vonderhyde, Jackie Bentley, Jason Smith, Bill Breimer, all do a great job in helping me put all this together for you. I remind you to catch my podcast on drinking and dining called Eat Drink Talk. And you can find it at eatdrinktalk.net or on this Louisville.am network. I will be back with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Airplanes in the buildings every time.